If you could find Romans chapter 1, that'll be our text for today. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read two very familiar verses. It's just a little paragraph, an abstractus paragraph out of, in a lot of ways, a very sad section of Scripture. But I'm trying to deal with reality, you see?
Yes, sir.
I'm wanting us to see how relevant the Scriptures are. They never, when God says there's nothing new under the sun, that's what He means. Mm-hmm. That's what He means. So Romans 1 and verse 24, it says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Father, we just humbly bow before You now, and we have to confess that we're grateful that You brought us out of darkness, for we all were born into darkness. We were born into darkness and blind spiritually, could not see. Deaf and dumb spiritually. And yet, You, Father, You had mercy on us. And here we are today, able. Jesus said, my sheep,
hallelujah,
hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So here we are, Lord, having the eyes of our hearts opened, and our ears, the ears of our hearts opened, where we can now hear and from You and see what things are going on in the Spirit. And so we love You. And we ask You now to meet us in the Scriptures, for You said that these things must be spiritually discerned. We must have the mind of Christ when we approach the Scriptures. And so we thank You. Oh, my goodness, Lord. It's so wonderful to have the mind of Christ and to come to the Scriptures and say, this Word of God is living and active and sharp. It's cutting me. Oh, Lord, but I love it. We love Your law. We love You. We love You, Lord. And so meet us now in the Scriptures. Guide us into truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, we're continuing on with this subject of living in denial. Living in denial, which obviously, if you are paying attention, that's a lot of, that's what's going on in our world. Living in denial. And you might, I want you to remember that we're talking about deception. You see? Deception is what keeps people in denial. Okay? And so where this deception began, in the garden. Deception began immediately after God created humanity. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, I'm afraid that, the same cunning of Satan that deceived Eve will also affect your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see? That cunningness of Satan. He's of the serpent. Actually, he refers to Satan as a serpent there. Because you all know that's what that's the way he revealed himself there in the garden. And so he we find that immediately after God creates humanity, Satan moves in with deception. Bringing what? The lie. Yes. But it's clever, you see. He was clever then, and he's clever now. Now that that deception led to transgression, didn't it? 1 Timothy 2:14, transgression. You crossed the, Adam and Eve crossed over the line that that God told them not to do, didn't he? He told them not to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they what? They crossed over as a transgression, the cross. They crossed over. And that transgression, or that sin, what? Led to death. And God had told them that, right? Genesis 2:17, the day that you eat from the fruit of the knowledge of the tree, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you what? You will surely die. And they did. And then we find, we move all the way to the New Testament. And we find Paul clearly stating there that the wages of sin is what? When you sin, there's payment for that. This payment for sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. And Satan knew that. He knew that. The wages of sin is death, but thank God the rest of that verse says the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. But then Ephesians 2 goes on to say to all of us, that's how we were born. We were born what? Dead. And our what? Trespasses and sin, dead. And so you see what I'm wanting to communicate here is that Satan's goal, his goal is to destroy humanity. To destroy. Why? Because people are created in the image of God.
That's right.
He hates it.
Yeah.
He hates it. And so his goal is to destroy people, all people, created in the image of God. That's, you remember, that's the reason Jesus called him a liar and a murderer. Look at those two together. He's a liar and a murderer. He lies in order that he can murder. He lies in order that he can kill and destroy. And so the Bible says that we are not naive to his tactics and his schemes. And so that's the reason I'm standing up here today trying to do my job, is to remind you. I know I'm not telling you anything new, but I want to remind you, because we live in a culture that wants to dumb us down.
Yeah.
A culture that wants to desensitize us, you see. A culture that wants us to look the other way when Satan is doing his work, rather than be engaged. Jesus said, I left you there for what? Salt and light. Not to look the other way, not to be indifferent. Right? I didn't put you on that job to be indifferent. I didn't put you in that, whatever the venue that you function in daily. I didn't put you there to be indifferent. I put you there to be what? Salt and light. Because the world, Satan wants you to be what? Indifferent. And so that's his goal, is to destroy humanity. And then we learned last week, as we look at 2 Timothy 3, in verse 13, that it's evil people and imposters, you see. He has these evil people and these imposters that are gladly doing his work. And that verse says that they will go from what? Bad to worse. The people sitting around, even Christians sitting around thinking that this world is going to get better. The Bible nowhere portrays that this world is going to get better. And I'm just reminding you of that here. Those on Zoom, those who listen to this later, the Bible does not portray that the world is going to get better. Amen. It's going to move from what? Bad to worse. But God said, I have saved you for such a time as this. We could have been born in any generation. Yes. Why are we born now? Because this is the generation God wanted us born in. Yes? Yeah. Even though it's going from bad to worse, we're here to represent God. And so that verse also says that evil people and imposters are deceiving and being deceived. That's the reason it's so difficult talking to these false teachers and false preachers, false pastors, false. They're deceived. They really believe the stuff that they're teaching. You see, when you believe what you're teaching, yeah, that's the reason they dig their heels in so deeply. And you look at them, you say, "I've reasoned this thing every way you can reason with it." But they're what? They're unreasonable. They're unreasonable. And God wants us to know that. God is the one that changes the heart.
Amen. Yes,
he is. And so don't grow weary. When you've done your job, you see, Paul said he was going to make every attempt to persuade. That's all you can do. To persuade. But some people are so deceived that you have to do your job and move on. And hope that God will use that seed, right?
Yeah.
Some plant, what? Some water, but what? God gives increase. We good?
Amen.
Yeah. And you have to keep that in mind perverted and twisted, and when you've done your best, when you've loved, when you've sacrificed, when you've spent money, you spent time, and people just seem to be just as hardened as they can be. Just keep loving and keep serving. Some plant, some water, but God. Don't ever forget that. But God. God is the one. I mean, look at Paul and so many others. In history, that who would have ever thought that they would be one of us? But they are. Why? Because God is the one who's in control. Yes? Gives us hope and encouragement. And we've also learned that believers will be persecuted by those who are deceived. And you, if you've lived very long, you know that. You will be persecuted by those who are deceived, and mainly because of what you believe. And so many, particularly these religions that are getting so aggressive toward Christians. You know, Islam and the various ones that are getting so intolerant. They say that we're not tolerant. Think of all these religions that are so intolerant toward Christianity. And so God prepares us to understand that we're persecuted for what? Believing the truth. And don't be surprised. And that's what he says. Do not be surprised when these fiery trials and tests come upon you. As if what? Something strange was happening. Yeah? So today I want to go a little bit further with this as we think about truth and deception from these verses we're looking at now. And these are the two thoughts that I have extracted from these verses. I want to look at the fact that truth is exposed, and then you find that truth is exchanged, right? People are exposed to the truth, but then they exchange that truth. It's an incredible thing. So let's dive in. Now, when it comes to truth, theologically, some of you might know, but I want to make sure we're all together. When it comes to truth and as it's categorized theologically, you have what's called natural or general revelation. Okay, natural or general revelation, and that is a revelation that God makes available to everyone. Okay. To everyone, natural, you know, being nature, right? Everybody can observe nature. And so you go back to Romans 1, and you see verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men by their unrighteousness, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Okay? So there are these ungodly, evil, and unrighteous people who suppress the truth, this natural truth we're talking about. And this truth is about God, you see? And these verses say to us, this truth about God is clearly revealed, what? In creation. You see verse 19? For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them.
Yes.
For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that he has made. So they are without what?
Excuse.
Now, I don't know if you know those verses were in your Bible, but there they are for all of those who are so concerned about people that may not have just heard the gospel yet. If people respond to natural revelation, God will give them more. God will give them more. But you see, you got people who are determined to suppress even natural revelation. That's what God is going after here. Creation being plant life, you know, the trees and various things, animal life, the mountains, these massive bodies of water, the deserts, the sun, the moon. They're all, these verses said they're clearly declare the existence of God. They clearly proclaim the existence of a creator.
Yes.
The heavens declare the glories, right? The glories of God. Hallelujah. So it's unrealistic to think that something this complex could come into existence by luck or chance. Or evolution. It's unthinkable.
Amen.
But you see, when you're deceived, you believe that. And now, extremely intellectual people can be deceived. Y'all do know that.
Amen.
This is the reason you shouldn't be intimidated by someone's intellect. Intellect doesn't equal wisdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Wisdom comes from God. Now, let me back off. Godly wisdom. The Bible says there is an earthly wisdom. Yeah, that's right. Earthly and demonic, as the scriptures would say. But I'm talking about godly wisdom, which is first peaceable and pure, gentle, reasonable. Full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering without hypocrisy. That comes from what? God. And God says, if anyone lacks it, what do they do? Let him ask. And so, it's just inconceivable that people could say, looking around and say, oh, this just happened by luck, by chance. by some bang or by some, I mean, what? Look at your body. You see? And so, natural revelation. But deceived and deceiving people suppress the truth. That's what he's going after here. Suppress the truth. Suppress means to hold down or to prevent the truth from being effective. And this is serious now. This is really serious. This is the reason deceivers will be judged so harshly. You remember how Jesus said to the Pharisees and Pharisees, he said, you won't come into the kingdom and you what? You what? You prevent others. And you go out and proselytize people to bring them into this darkness and you make them twice the children of hell. Think of all these proselytes that are following this false teaching. Yes. Outside and inside the church. Yes? They suppress the truth, and so it should be obvious that this is demonic, because Satan does not want people to know the truth about God. That's all I'm trying to communicate. God says, look around, and I have clearly made myself known. But deceivers and evil and wicked men and women have become ambassadors for Satan and determined to what? Suppress the truth. That's happening in this day in which we live. And many of them have a massive platform. Yes. Because they're celebrities and in many ways. Okay? Now, so that's natural or general revelation. But then there's more, which is called special revelation, all right? And that's, I want you to see this. Special revelation is truth spoken directly or indirectly from God. You remember Exodus 33? 11, I believe, said God spoke with Moses as he does, face to face, as he does what? With a friend. Yeah, as he does with a friend. And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. There's some wonderful verses here. I think Leah read these verses last week, I believe. But look at verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Yeah, God speaks. God speaks. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture, right, is breathed out from God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. And so this is what? Special revelation. Not nature, not general revelation. Special revelation that comes directly from God. Yeah. Thank God that we're privileged, right? The God of creation speaks to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. The God of creation goes further and records. This is the amazing thing. He records his truth and makes sure that it's distinctive from all other written material. Amen. There is no book like this book. Why will you not use it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got it in every possible form. We have no excuse. Even, you can get the Word of God on these little chips now. You seen them? These little things you can stick in your shirt pocket and put your earbuds in. The whole Bible. We have no excuse. And so this is a wonderful thing. I love these verses here, and let me see if I can find this. 2 Peter. These are some wonderful verses here. 2 Peter, what did I say? 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There's no book like this book. There's no book like this book. Now, we're not in this little congregation, we're not those, when I say this book, we're not those who say, you got to use the ESV. I'm not talking about that. You got to use the King James. You got to do it. And I'm being a little bit, sarcastic. But when I say this book, I mean the Word of God. There's no book like the Word of God. Nowhere. No time. Because the Word is what? Living and active and sharp. Jesus said, heaven and earth will what? Pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle, no, nothing. Not of this Word. And nobody can say that about a book that they've written. It doesn't matter whether you're the leader of the Mormons or Islam, whatever religion it is. You cannot say that. You cannot say that. This book is different than any other written material. Amen. And thank God it's what? It's ours. Don't be ashamed of it. As one of the prophets said, eat it. Take it down. It don't always taste good initially, but take it anyway. Good medicine. Good medicine doesn't always taste good, but it gets the job done, right? All right. So anyway, that's the truth, and that's being exposed to the truth. But the next thing I want you to notice is that God makes truth available, but then you got this weird thing. Now, I shouldn't call it weird, but you've got this perversion that happens where the truth is being exchanged. Imagine that. The truth about God is being exchanged. For what? How do you get better than God? Exchange for what? That's what we need to think about. All right? So, let's talk about this exchange in verse 25. So the word exchange, for those listening in and are on Zoom, it's the word metalasso, and it's spelled M-E-T-A-L-L-A-S-S-O, metalasso with a long O, and it means to alter. Or to substitute. So you see, to exchange implies that something is not useful. You know, it's like for your birthday, like Brother Eric just celebrated a birthday. Well, suppose he got a pair of shoes, nice shoes, but they size 8. Now, I don't know what size Eric wears, but I would imagine.
Not an 8.
I'd imagine it's not an 8. Now, What's he going to do with those shoes? They got it. They gave him the shoes. They gave him the receipt. They gave him, you know, right? So what's he going to do? He's going to go and what? Exchange it. Why? Because it's not useful. Oh, I mean, you can apply that to whatever scenario you're thinking about. Regardless of how expensive something is to you, if it's not perceived to be what? Useful, then what do? You exchange it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. So the word of God is perceived what? Not to be of any value. By these that are what? Deceived. Deceived. The truth is not of any value. And particularly, these verses are particularly concerned about the truth about God. Isn't that what it said earlier? This truth about God has been what? Clearly revealed. Plainly revealed, so that there's what? No excuse. But you see, this truth about God is perceived to be worthless. And look at the irony of that. Substituted with a lie about God. You got verse 25. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Can you imagine that? For a lie. And it's everywhere in our culture. It's everywhere in our culture. People, rather than worship God, they'll worship his creation. You know, they've got these nature worshipers now. Y'all know that? Yeah, I mean, genuine nature worshipers. And then you got these the people who say that God is unknown. You remember when Paul was in the Areopagus? He ran into that, didn't he? They worshipped all these gods. They had all these idols for all the gods, and they even had one for what? The unknown God, and that's still happening today. People today even say that God is unknowable. Yeah. So how can you know him? How can you, Christians, say you know God when he is unknowable? And it goes even further, which, again, this creeps into Christianity big time, where man is considered to be God. Man is the center. Man-centered service. Man-centered worship. Man-centered. I saw an interview here recently with Morgan Freeman. And the interviewer says, Morgan, you're not a religious man, are you? You know, you don't believe in God. And he says, he said, well, yeah, I believe in God and I believe in me. Same thing. Same person. Did you get that? It's just as serious as he could be. I believe in God and I believe in me. Same person. I'm not picking on Morgan Freeman. I'm just saying that that's a deceived person. And he will go on to what? Deceive others because of his platform. You understand? And he'll be convincing because of his platform. But you should not be intimidated because of his platform.
Amen. Thank
you. You understand what I'm saying? That's the deal. Hey, Morgan Freeman needs what? The truth.
Yes.
He doesn't need another movie. He doesn't need a, you know, I mean, the man's rich. You know, he's interacted with all kinds of people in the world. But he's deceived and he's still blind. And he's in a sad situation. Yes. That's what you have to see. And I don't know how old Morgan is, but I mean, you see, this is not just a young person's, you're right, you see, it doesn't matter your age, you can be deceived at any age. Right. Okay. So, then of course you got, you know, people that say that God doesn't exist, you know, they say I'm an agnostic or an atheist, and you know what the psalmist says about that, right? 14. The fool has what? Said in his heart, there is no God. And yes, it's challenging when you're trying to witness to a fool, but we still do it. Right? We still do it. Why? Because somebody witnessed to you.
That's right.
Didn't they? And I don't know what your situation was, but obviously you were a sinner. You were dead and lost. But you see, when you got the truth, you shouldn't be bullied. I don't know, I sound like a broken record. But we're not the ones to be pitied. They are. They're the ones that need help. They're the ones that are living in denial. They're living in denial. God said that I have clearly made myself known and plain to everyone. Everyone that will go to hell will have what? No excuse. But you and I want, it's not our heart to try to say, to try to think that we're so discerning that we know who's going to hell. We don't know who's going to hell. Well, even more than that, you shouldn't want anybody. God's own heart, he doesn't desire to see his own creation destroyed like that. So why would you? I don't want to digress here too much, but that we've got to see that that's the whole idea of us being loving and to love even our enemies, to pray for them. They're deceived. They're living in denial. And so, you know, they exchange this truth for a lie, and then the result we see there is that you notice in verse 18, there's always a consequence when you do not believe the truth. There's always a consequence. There's always a consequence when you reject the truth. There's always a consequence when you walk away from the truth. There's always a consequence, particularly when you are used to suppress the truth. You see that in verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. There's always a consequence. Always, always, always a consequence. And so we find here in verse 24 that God removes his restraint. See verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. And I know you all read Romans 1 before, and that's the reason it's so sad. When God removes his restraint, this means, see, right now, you look at most people aren't as evil as they could be. Did y'all know that? It's a thing called common grace that keeps them from being as evil as they could be. Why does an unsaved boss pay you? Because God has you them working under common grace. You pick any scenario where you're dealing with unbelievers, and if they're doing right by you, it's because God is restraining them from being as evil as they could be. You understand? But when they have gone so far, God removes, it's like a Pharaoh. You remember the story with Pharaoh? After four attempts, God said, I'm going to do what? I'm going to harden his heart. Isn't that awful? Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said to them one time, you've had an opportunity. And you wouldn't believe. You won't believe, and now you're going to reach the point to where you can't. Isn't it sad? You can't. You can't. Now you and I don't know that. Don't start trying to. We're not trying to play God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's a reality. That's the reason it's an urgency, because people that keep resisting God, they'll reach a point to where they can't. Their consciences will be what the Bible calls what? Seared. And you see it. I mean, you see a person arrested for killing a child, chopping them up and throwing them in the dumpster, and they have no sorrow, no remorse. None. These young people break into homes and kill everybody in there for a cell phone. They're deceived. They perceive the value of that cell phone as higher than what? The value of people's lives. The prison isn't going to change that. Now, I know, that's the law. We obey the law. That's Romans 13. But you and I know that what they need is what? The gospel.
Yes.
The gospel is what changes. And I don't want to digress too much, but it's just sad. It's sad. And so God removes this restraint, and then you see that these people, in this particular case, what he says is then they will dishonor their own bodies.
Yeah.
And we see it every day. Disown their own bodies with wicked activities, nudity. Think of what the nudity that's around everywhere now.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Nudity with drunkenness, with sexual perversion, and all of the kind of sexual perversion it's like they just keep pushing the envelope, push it further and further and further. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes said. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, and the ear is not satisfied with hearing. That's what wickedness will do when God removes the restraint. You see them then involved in all forms of evil. Some things that, God said there's some things that shouldn't even be mentioned in church, so I'm not going to say them. I thought about bringing some pictures and all, but I'm not going to honor Satan by displaying that kind of corruption.
Yeah.
I don't even want it to be in your mind.
Yeah.
You see, some things shouldn't even be mentioned, what? Among the saints. But we need to be aware. You can't stick your head in the sand and pretend this is not happening.
That's right.
Some of our own family members are caught in this.
Yes.
And you must understand that they are deceived.
Yes.
They believe it. They believe what they're doing is right.
Yeah.
And so it says that gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their own bodies among themselves. Then he goes on to say the next thing that they do is these people will commit acts of gross idolatry. They worship the and serve the creature. You see that in verse 25? They exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, you've been patient. But when you think about that, think about what's happening today. People worship statues. They worship animal life. People worship plant life. They worship other things. Yep. People worship other dead people.
Yeah.
Don't they? Not just outside the church. Inside the church, we've got major dead people worship. Major religions that say they are Christian worship philosophy. They worship their own intellect. People even worship Satan himself.
Yeah.
That is, there's this popular term coming out of the closet. Satan worshipers are coming out of the closet now because they're no longer intimidated. But thanks be to God. I know. Y'all look so serious. Thanks be to God. This is not the end of the story, right? Yeah, this is not the hopeless destiny for everyone. God gives us what? Real hope to break out of this crazy, twisted, perverted situation. That's how we got out. Yeah, Paul says, oh, and such were what? Some of you, but you've been what? Washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. Yeah, it's all in the name of Jesus. So yeah, it's serious, but it's not the end of the story, right? And even though we live in a world where the truth is suppressed, we live in a world where the natural revelation of God is ignored and deceivers are pervasive and aggressive, we live in a world where the truth is exchanged for a lie. We live in a world where people have given up and given over to their lustful desires by God. People are created in the image of God, dishonor their own bodies. We live in a world where people worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Thank God this is not our lifestyle and destiny.
Amen.
See, we're not in denial that this is happening. That's part of my job, is to make sure you don't deny it. It is happening. It's happening right now. It's happening right now by some of the wealthiest people in the world. We are not in denial that these people and lifestyles are prevalent and pervasive in our world today. Even though we live in a world where people do not love the truth, we do. Hallelujah. We do love the truth. We treasure the truth. We hide it in our hearts, don't we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. This word we're talking about is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's clean. More to be desired than gold. Yes, it is sweeter than the honey. And honey on the drippings of a honeycomb. Our minds are renewed by this truth. And this word We're filled up with it. That's what Colossians says. We get filled with the word. We're taught by it. We're reproved by it. We're corrected by it. We're trained by it. This really is truth. It's what led us to Jesus Christ, isn't it? The truth is what led us to light, led us to liberty. We live for it, and we die for the truth, because the truth has done what? Set us free.
Hallelujah.
Mm-mm-mm. See, we believe Jesus when he says, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. We all believe that. No one comes to the Father but what? But through me, but through me, but by me. You see, we believe the Word of God when it says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. We believe that, don't we?
Yeah.
We believe it when the Bible says there, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And it goes on to say, and the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father. Listen, full of grace and what? Truth. Yeah. Full of grace and truth. We believe it. We receive it. And we're eternally blessed. Because the Word is truth. And if you're not a Christian, whether you're here present or listening via Zoom or will listen to this message later, if you're not a Christian, I'm inviting you to come to Jesus Christ and become a part of the family of truth. Come to him. Believe upon him. Believe upon him. It doesn't matter how long you've been deceived. It doesn't matter how far you went into deception. He'll forgive your sins. He will wash you. The blood of Christ cleanses. Come to him. Oh God, please. Please rivet these things to our heart. How we love you today. How we love you today, and how we love your law, how we love your word, how we love the truth.
Yes.
Here today. Thank you for giving us a new heart and working in us so that we can love you, love your word, love your neighbor. You did it, Lord, and we give you all the praise and glory for it. And if there is someone that does not know you, Father, that does not love you, that is not a part of your family, would you